Hello, this is Beth Ashcroft, Director of the Office of Program Evaluation and Government Accountability for the Maine State Legislature, or OPEGA for short. We are pleased to bring you this audio version of our final report from our review of children's outpatient mental health services provided through MaineCare. This report was released in February of 2009. The printed version of this report can be found on our website at www.legislature.maine.gov/OPEGA. Hard copies are available at the Law and Legislative Reference Library, the Maine State Library, or can be obtained through the OPEGA office at 207-287-1901. The major sections of this report are recorded as separate tracks. Track 2 is the report highlights. Tracks 3 through 9 contain the sections of the full report, and Track 10 is the response letter received from the Department of Health and Human Services. Report highlights from the OPEGA Final Report on MaineCare Children's Outpatient Mental Health Services, an assessment of administrative costs and their drivers. This OPEGA review was intended to answer the following questions. First, how much of the funding for outpatient services for children is expended on the administrative costs of the Department of Health and Human Services and providers versus direct delivery of services? Second, what are the primary factors driving the administrative costs? Of the approximately $18.5 million spent on outpatient children's mental health services in fiscal year 2008, we estimate about 73%, or $13.5 million, is associated with the cost of directly delivering the services to children. Approximately 19%, or $3.4 million, can be attributed to providers' administrative costs, and the remaining 8%, or $1.4 million, represents the administrative costs of program management performed by the department and its contracted administrative service organization, also known as the ASO. Primary drivers of administrative costs for DHHS are the contract with the ASO and costs incurred by the Office of MaineCare Services in processing provider claims. Providers surveyed reported that certain administrative requirements imposed upon them by the state, and the ASO in particular, represented significant efforts for them. The state has moved to standardize reimbursement rates for children's mental health outpatient services, and providers are working to adapt by managing their costs to a supportable level. By lowering or raising the standard rate, the state affects the level of costs providers can afford to bear. The provider network will continue to adapt to the implementation of care management efforts and standardized rates. We encourage DHHS and the legislature to closely monitor whether the current standard rate or administrative requirements on providers should be further adjusted to achieve additional savings or to address any unintended changes in the availability and quality of services. OPEGA suggested the legislature consider taking action to A. assess the cost-effectiveness of the contract DHHS has entered into with the ASO, currently that is APS Healthcare. B. formally monitor the effects of the current standard rate and administrative requirements of the care management effort on the Children's Mental Health Network to ensure unintended changes in the availability or quality of services can be addressed promptly. C. determine whether to revive the currently inactive Children's Mental Health Oversight Committee authorized by Title 34B, Section 15004-2. And D. monitor developing actions by DHHS and the service center that supports it to begin collecting federal reimbursement for appropriate costs that were not reimbursed in prior years. The full report, Section 1, Purpose. The Maine Legislature's Office of Program Evaluation and Government Accountability, also known as OPEGA, has completed a review of the administrative costs associated with children's outpatient mental health services provided by the Department of Health and Human Services through MaineCare. OPEGA conducted this review at the direction of the Joint Legislative Government Oversight Committee of the 123rd Legislature in accordance with Title III, Sections 991 through 997. Over the past 3 years, OPEGA and the Government Oversight Committee, also known as the GOC, have heard a number of questions from legislators about children's mental health services in general and about the administrative costs associated with their delivery. This report attempts to address some of those questions within the context of a specific children's mental health program, outpatient services. This program was selected by the GOC because its services are provided to a larger number of children than any other behavioral health service. Almost $17 million of state and federal funds was paid to providers for outpatient children's mental health services delivered in fiscal year 2008. These services were delivered to approximately 13,000 individual children throughout Maine. Table 1 in the printed report gives fiscal year 2008 total costs, count of children served, and count of providers for 10 different children's behavioral health services. Within outpatient services, the GOC focused OPEGA's work specifically on administrative costs associated with the service. This was in keeping with the committee's interest in areas where costs could perhaps be reduced without affecting services to citizens. The resulting scope questions approved by the GOC on October 7, 2008 were: how much of the funding for outpatient services for children is expended on the administrative costs of DHHS and providers versus direct delivery of services? And what are the primary factors driving the administrative costs? OPEGA conducted research to identify a national standard or common definition for administrative costs in a health service setting, but found that there is little agreement on this point. For the purposes of this review, OPEGA considered administrative costs to be those costs associated with managing the services, but not specifically associated with the actual physical delivery of those services. For example, most indirect and overhead costs would be considered administrative, while salaries of counselors delivering the services and some portion of the building costs associated with the space in which they provide the services would be considered direct costs. Full report, Section 2, Scope and Methods. Given the scoping direction from the Government Oversight Committee, OPEGA's work was bound primarily to children's outpatient mental health services. Although our work indicated that some such services are provided through a general fund-only program, that program had been dwindling over the recent years and as of fiscal year 2008 had an annual budget of approximately $200,000. The majority of children's outpatient services, approximately $17 million annually, are delivered through MaineCare and therefore supported by general fund dollars with a federal match. Our work focused on these MaineCare services. The outpatient mental health services for children at the center of our review were those governed by Section 65A.02.F of the MaineCare Benefits Manual, commonly referred to as 65F services. Section 65F was effective during the period of our review, but since the end of fiscal year 2008, changes have been made to the manual. Outpatient services are now covered under 65.06-3 and have been grouped together with services previously covered by other sections. In performing this review, we recognize the complexity of the MaineCare system and the regularity with which its parameters can change. In order to keep our work confined to a relatively stable time period and to keep our results current, we focused on costs, processes, and results associated primarily with fiscal year 2008. Our work included interviewing key employees of DHHS and the Department of Administrative and Financial Services Service Center to understand the work DHHS offices perform to administer children's outpatient mental health services and the costs attributable to their efforts. Surveying a sample of 12 providers representing organizations of various sizes located across the state. Interviewing representatives of the three primary support organizations in Maine for parents of children who use behavioral health services. obtaining and analyzing an extract of paid claims from the Maine Claims Management System, or MESUMS, for children's mental health services provided during fiscal year 08. Obtaining and reviewing data from APS Healthcare, the administrative service organization contracted to perform utilization review for children's outpatient services. Working with the Legislative Office of Policy and Legal Analysis and the Office of Fiscal and Program Review to understand legislative history and recent fiscal initiatives. Reviewing pertinent state and federal regulations, including the Maine Care Benefits Manual. Reviewing reports from similar audits in other states. And reviewing the state single audit reports and obtaining additional information from the state auditor. We initially expected our work to include reviewing the appropriateness of the allowance for administrative costs built into the standard rate paid to providers of children's outpatient services. However, Deloitte Consulting LLP was contracted by DHHS in the fall of 2008 to assess the rates paid for all behavioral health services for both children and adults. In order to avoid duplication of effort, OPEGA did not perform any additional analysis of the standard rate and instead relied on Deloitte's work to the extent necessary and prudent. Full Report, Section 3, Overview of Children's Mental Health Outpatient Services. Subsection, DHHS's Administration of Outpatient Services. The Federal Early and Periodic Screening, Diagnosis, and Treatment Law is Medicaid's comprehensive and preventative child health program for individuals under the age of 21 and requires states to serve that population, but does not mandate how states provide the services. Maine provides the behavioral health services considered required under this law through DHHS's Division of Children's Behavioral Health Services. The division's responsibilities for children's outpatient services are guided by statute, Title 34B, Sections 15001 through 15004, and Agency Rule, Chapter 101 of the Maine Care Manual. Children's Behavioral Health Services does not deliver outpatient mental health services to children directly. Services are delivered by licensed mental health service providers in the community, and the division serves mostly an oversight function. Other offices and divisions within DHHS are involved to varying degrees in the provision of children's outpatient mental health services. Figure 1 in the printed report illustrates the entities involved in the administration of children's outpatient services. An additional administrative function was fairly recently established through the partial implementation of a care management initiative authorized by the legislature in Public Law 2007, Chapter 240, Part CC. This function is provided by an administrative service organization, also known as the ASO, which currently is APS Healthcare, that is under contract with DHHS. The care management initiative was expected to achieve significant savings, but OPEGA found that as of yet, there has been no detailed review of contract costs in comparison to savings or other outcomes being derived from APS services. Recommendation 1 in the recommendation section of this report has further discussion. In addition to the oversight provided by DHHS's Division of Children's Behavioral Health Services, statute creates a Children's Mental Health Oversight Committee. This committee is statutorily required to meet every 2 months or more often, as the committee determines necessary, to perform several significant statutorily required duties. During this review, OPEGA observed that the committee appears to have stopped meeting and no longer receives reports from DHHS or makes reports to joint standing committees of the legislature as required in statute. It appears that a number of the Oversight Committee seats have gone unfilled for some time, and as a result, the committee has ceased to function. Recommendation 3 in the recommendation section of this report has additional discussion. Subsection on Description of Outpatient Services. Children's outpatient mental health services are provided to Maine Care-eligible children who have developmental disabilities or delays, pervasive developmental disorder, autism, or mental health diagnoses. These services usually take the form of therapeutic counseling and are distinct from other types of counseling because they are provided in an outpatient setting. The child is not admitted to a residential facility or hospital and instead participates in the counseling in a setting such as an office or often a school. Outpatient services can include a number of potential therapies, including individual therapy, group therapy, family therapy, anger management, and play therapy. Maine does not require certain therapies to be used for certain diagnoses, and instead leaves this decision up to the counselor and the child in each specific situation. However, Maine has been conducting a pilot program in evidence-based treatment methods that have been scientifically proven effective and which are required by some other states. The pilot uses part of a grant award to fund the evidence-based treatment training specific to trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy for clinicians in Western Maine. Outpatient services do not require a referral from a primary care physician, and in fact, families can learn about and access them through many different avenues. Families may call DHHS Family Information Specialists, who may point them to the services. Families may also contact support organizations such as NAMI, Maine Parent Federation, and GEAR, who may connect them with the services. A primary care or emergency room physician may refer a patient, or crisis services, schools, and other state departments may connect a child with services. Finally, families may learn about the availability of services through dialing 211 or online, and then may choose to access the services. Subsection on Provider Outpatient Network. Children's outpatient mental health services have historically been provided primarily by licensed mental health clinics. In August of 2008, individual practitioners were also allowed to begin billing Maine Care directly as authorized by Public Law 2005, Chapter 203. OPEGA analyzed MISM's data from children's mental health claims paid for services rendered during fiscal year 2008 and found that claims for outpatient services were paid to 63 unique provider billing IDs. This count appears to include some providers more than once, as providers can choose whether to bill all services by various subsidiaries and physical office locations under one provider ID or under separate IDs. Eliminating this double counting results in 57 apparently unique provider entities. About half of these providers billed only for outpatient services, while the others also billed for additional mental health services for children. Additional services vary by provider and may include services such as in-home behavioral treatment, medication assessment and treatment, or crisis intervention and resolution. Table 2 in the printed report includes brief descriptions of other children's mental health services offered by outpatient providers. Outpatient service providers vary greatly in the quantity of services they deliver and the volume of their claims. The provider with the most outpatient claims for services delivered in fiscal year 2008 was Possibilities Counseling Services Incorporated, with paid claims of $3,949,428 for a total of 2,342 individual children. A near second was Sweetser Shoreline, with paid claims of $3,011,575 for services to 2,464 children. On the other end of the spectrum, Danzig Counseling Services PA, Oxford County Mental Health Services, and Searsport Counseling Associates each had paid claims of less than $3,000 in fiscal year 2008 for fewer than five individual children. Appendix A of the printed report contains a complete summary of the volume of services by provider as well as other information. The map in Figure 2 in the printed report illustrates the provider network for children's outpatient services. This map and its legend in Table 3 were generated based on available provider data in MISM's. MISM's claims data does not include a field indicating the physical location of the provider branch or office where the child actually accessed the services. Instead, NISIMS only records the single primary address given by the provider, which may represent a central office or a corporate location and may not even be a site where services are delivered. Given that some providers are large entities with many service locations, this single address for claims makes it difficult to tell where children may not have access. DHHS was unable to provide another source of relevant information on provider service locations for children's mental health outpatient locations. Subsection on main care reimbursement rates for children's outpatient services. Children's outpatient providers used to be reimbursed based on individually negotiated rates, but starting with fiscal year 2008, rates were capped, and for fiscal year 2009, rates were officially standardized to a set rate per hour. The standard rate has its roots in a budget initiative DHHS proposed for the 2008-2009 biennium. DHHS proposed a rate of $76.09 per hour for children's outpatient services. That rate was derived from a cost-based calculation done by the department. Instead of adopting the rate standardization initiative for fiscal year 2008, the legislature passed an across-the-board percentage reduction in rates for children's outpatient services. This reduction set the maximum rate for children's outpatient services at $88.08 per hour. The legislature subsequently passed an initiative in the first supplemental budget for fiscal year 2009 to further reduce and standardize the rate at $84 per hour, or $21 per quarter hour billing unit. Full report, Section 4, Estimated Administrative Costs. Subsection on DHHS's Estimated Administrative Costs. OPEGA identified all substantial activities performed by DHHS staff and other state agency offices that support the delivery of outpatient services and estimated the cost of each function. Table 4 in the printed report describes the primary administrative activities of each unit. Our work in estimating the administrative costs associated with children's outpatient services included review of the department's cost allocation plan, also known as the CAP. The plan allocates costs to federal programs, determining how much DHHS can bill the federal government for its share of costs. We noted that the CAP did not include the department's rate-setting unit that performs work related to outpatient services and is, therefore, eligible for federal matching. This omission results in less federal matching dollars, but should be remedied by actions being taken by the DHHS Service Center. Recommendation 4 in the recommendation section of this report has additional discussion. OPEGA also reviewed output data for a number of DHHS offices and finally estimated that the total cost associated with all DHHS administrative functions was about $1.4 million for fiscal year 2008. This includes approximately $1.1 million of the department's own internal costs, the vast majority of which stem from the Office of Main Care Services, Provider Relations, and Processing of Claims through the MISIMS system. DHHS administrative costs also include approximately $370,000 from its contract with APS Healthcare, as described next. Subsection, the ASO's role and estimated administrative costs. APS Healthcare is contracted to be Maine's administrative service organization. APS is licensed as a medical utilization review company in Maine and performs the utilization management functions of eligibility verification, prior authorization, utilization review, and retrospective review for a number of both adult and children's behavioral health services. Only two of their services, registration and utilization review, are relevant to children's outpatient mental health services. When a child receives outpatient services, the provider must register that child through APS to be eligible to be paid by Maine Care. The registration process is different than a prior approval process or pre-registration process in that it may be done after the child has already received some services. However, the provider cannot receive payment for those services until the registration is complete, either through APS's web-based system or through a paper form faxed to APS. When the child is registered for outpatient services, they are assigned an authorization number, good for 6 months of service or 8 hours of therapy, whichever comes first. A utilization review, also known as a continued stay request, must occur if more than the initial 8 hours of therapy are required or if the treatment extends beyond 6 months. Utilization review requires providers to submit information about the child and treatment plan and to request authorization to provide additional treatment. The reviews are intended to increase coordination of services, encourage communication among different providers for the same client, and encourage providers to provide only the level of service needed. APS is expected to review each request within 24 hours of receipt. The request may be approved, modified, or denied, although APS reports that denials are rare. APS estimates that registration and utilization review for children's outpatient services represent a significant share of their work. OPEGA analyzed output data provided by the company and confirmed that approximately 10.2% of their annual activity is related to children's outpatient. This 10.2% represents about 370,000 of the total $3.6 million encumbered on the contract in fiscal year 2008. We would estimate the costs associated with children's outpatient to be approximately $500,000 for fiscal year 2009 when APS's contract increases to $5 million. Subsection on Outpatient Providers' Administrative Costs and Drivers. Outpatient children's mental health services are currently paid via a standard reimbursement rate that disregards the actual administrative costs of providers and may, in fact, determine how much providers can afford to spend on these types of costs. We have used assumptions built into DHHS's cost-based rate calculation for indirect and direct costs to estimate the total amount of fiscal year 2008 administrative costs for outpatient providers. Table 5 in the printed report shows the detail of the department's cost-based rate calculation for outpatient services in 2007. That calculation includes an allowance for indirect costs that equals 25% of direct costs and results in a rate per hour of $76.09. The consulting firm Deloitte Consulting LLP was contracted by DHHS in the fall of 2008 to assess the reasonableness of MaineCare reimbursement rates for all behavioral health services for both children and adults. OPEGA avoided duplicating the work Deloitte was hired to perform, but did review their results and noted that they supported the reasonableness of the department's original cost-based rate calculation for children's outpatient services. We did not participate in their effort or in their meetings with providers, so we cannot evaluate the validity of their work or the extent to which they considered providers' input about actual costs providers were experiencing. Table 6 in the printed report details how OPEGA estimated providers' administrative costs for fiscal year 2008 using the allowance for indirect costs that was built into the department's original calculation. That allowance for 25% of direct costs represents actually 20% of providers' total costs. Based on this, we estimated that providers' administrative costs in fiscal year 2008 were $3,391,468. The fact that the fiscal year 2008 reimbursement rate for providers was capped at $88.08, and that this rate exceeds the department's cost-based rate of $76.09 by a significant amount, means that some providers were reimbursed for costs exceeding the assumptions that were used in our estimate. If providers used the dollars represented by the difference in those rates to cover indirect costs, then actual administrative costs are higher than what we have estimated. Conversely, if the majority of providers have had direct costs higher than what is included in the department's cost-based assumptions, then administrative costs may be lower than what we have estimated. We note that the current standard rate being paid to mental health clinics is $84 per hour, so the potential degree of variance in provider administrative costs that are being covered in the standard rate remains. The 12 providers surveyed by OPEGA reported a number of administrative burdens specific to requirements associated with providing children's outpatient to main care members. The majority of the burdens reported were related to the ASO, but the following additional burdens were noted. Increased costs associated with not receiving payment of claims in a timely manner. Licensing requirements and data collection that seem duplicative or that require submittal of duplicative data to multiple entities. And changes to main care requirements that mean providers are constantly asking administrative and technical staff to update data submission forms, codes, and processes. The providers almost unanimously described the reporting required by APS as an administrative burden that consumes significant resources, although a few noted that APS reporting requirements have been amended to make them somewhat less burdensome. Most still noted concerns in the following areas. First, APS requires multiple pages of data be reported as part of a utilization review, consuming significant staff resources for providers. The reports must be completed outside of session and so are not on billable time, and require information that can often not be completed by an administrative employee and must be prepared by a clinician. Second, they reported that there seems to be an increase in the need for repeated billing of claims since APS initiated care management efforts. This is a hardship for providers because it delays their receipt of funds, but it also consumes resources in researching the reason for claim rejection and then resubmitting the claim. Providers have observed the issue often seems to be that authorization was granted by APS, but somehow not communicated to DHHS to allow payment. Lastly, some providers felt that the frequency with which utilization reviews must be done is what creates the administrative burden for outpatient services. They described quality assurance procedures used by private insurers that are far less frequent and onerous, and wondered whether APS is taking their quality assurance efforts too far, to the point where they do not yield enough value to justify the imposition on scarce resources. A number of providers suggested that these issues, and some of those not related to APS, could be resolved with a more streamlined statewide electronic medical record system that would allow every provider to access and submit information on main care patients. Providers suggested that if all provider entities and all DHHS offices had access, then the duplication of reporting would be eliminated and communication and coordination about members' care would be improved. Those surveyed also indicated that DHHS has taken valuable steps in the past to identify administrative burdens on providers, such as the Administrative Burden Reduction Working Group authorized by Public Law 2007, Chapter 240, Part AAAA. OPEGA shared the provider perspectives we obtained with DHHS. The department acknowledged that a utilization review effort like that being performed by APS is requiring more of providers than they have had to do in the past. However, they maintain that Maine is moving to the industry standards of practice and that Maine's ASO is in line with what other states are doing. DHHS notes that continuing with a system where providers were not required to justify the number of visits and types of treatment that Maine care members were receiving and the associated costs was not sustainable for the state. The department also described the efforts being made to reduce administrative burdens for providers by both DHHS and APS. They mentioned the APS Provider Advisory Group and noted that the several pages of documentation previously required by the provider for utilization review had been reduced to a one-page form as of August 2008. They also indicated that the Administrative Burdens Working Group was still ongoing and was making progress in implementing suggestions arising from that process as appropriate. OPEGA observes that there are some differences in perspectives between providers and DHHS on the administrative burdens, and this is not entirely unexpected given the cultural shift that a care management effort creates. However, we have not researched the specific points made to us by either group and are not in a position at this time to validate them. Such validation could naturally be undertaken during the cost-effectiveness review of the contract with APS that we suggest in Recommendation 1, and or the ongoing monitoring of changes in the provider network that we recommend in Recommendation 2. Full Report, Section 5, Potential Effects of Utilization Reviews and Standard Rates. Subsection, Impact on Costs of Outpatient Services. Recent implementation of utilization reviews and a standardized rate are primarily state efforts to contain costs while also achieving equity among providers and improving outcomes for children. Utilization reviews by the ASO are intended to help assure that children receive only the services that are necessary and appropriate for their situations. A standard rate that applies to every provider helps ensure that the state's costs are driven by the amount and quality of services it is acquiring rather than by the cost structures of individual providers. Since the rate is standard, regardless of each individual provider's actual delivery costs, one could expect that providers will work to manage their costs to a level that allows them to function within the current rate. The result is a scenario in which, by lowering or raising the standard rate, the state affects the level of costs both it and the providers can afford to bear. Theoretically, the level the standard rate is set at should represent a fair price for the service in the marketplace that also takes into account providers' costs in complying with any administrative requirements imposed upon them. Providers we surveyed reported that between 29% and 100% of their clients for children's outpatient services were main care members, with most of them having more than 80%. Changes in rates and administrative requirements cannot help but to have a major impact on individual providers that can be expected over time to affect the provider network as a whole. Two of the 12 providers indicated that rate reductions experienced in recent years have been a hardship and have required them to reduce the amount of outpatient services they provide or alter the way they provide them. Others have explored mergers or joint purchasing efforts. These adaptations on the part of providers are good examples of how a standard rate is likely to impact the provider network. Subsection on Impacts on Availability and Quality of Outpatient Services. If rates are pushed so low that it is not possible to deliver the services without losing money, Maine will likely see providers leaving the network, potentially resulting in lengthy waiting lists or shortages of providers in certain geographic areas. Conversely, an overly generous rate would likely result in many new providers entering the network and potentially creating excess capacity. Quality of service may also be affected if affordability impacts providers' ability to recruit and retain highly qualified clinicians or the range of therapies they can offer. No systemic issues with either availability or quality of children's outpatient services were brought to OPEGA's attention. In our discussions with parent support groups, we heard that families are mostly satisfied with the outcomes of their children's therapy sessions, although there was some frustration expressed about individual counselors who were not perceived as being flexible enough in their selection of therapeutic methods. These groups also indicated that outpatient services are actually more readily available than some other children's mental health services. They commented, however, that parents will travel a great distance if necessary to get the services their children need, and that in some cases the willingness to travel is not enough. These groups cited issues with the number of Washington County providers for certain other mental health services. They also noted that access can still be an issue even in areas where there are technically enough providers, because some providers will not take main care patients. Reasons given for this were that providers felt main care paid less than other payers or took longer to pay. 3 of the 12 providers we surveyed indicated they are usually able to see a child within a week of the request for an appointment, while the others responded that the time lag is usually somewhere between 2 and 4 weeks. Some providers noted difficulty in maintaining enough qualified clinicians as a driving factor in this wait time. We asked DHHS for wait list or related data collected regarding areas where children may not be able to access outpatient services immediately. DHHS reported that it discontinued provider reporting on waiting list data in 2008 after determining that it was not a reliable measure for various reasons. Instead, need in specific geographic areas is determined through a, quote, thorough knowledge of the geographic area in terms of what children and families are saying works for them, unquote, that exists with the DHHS regional staff. Since the outpatient provider network is still in the process of responding to recent changes in rates and administrative requirements, close monitoring will be required over the short term to ensure that any availability or quality issues that arise can be addressed quickly. Recommendation 2 in the recommendation section of this report has further discussion. Full report, Section 6, in summary. Of the approximately $18.5 million spent on outpatient children's mental health services in fiscal year 2008, we estimate about 73%, or $13.5 million, is associated with the cost of directly delivering the services to children. Approximately 19%, or $3.4 million, can be attributed to providers' administrative costs, and the remaining 8%, or $1.4 million, represents the administrative cost of program management performed by the department and its contracted administrative services organization. Figure 3 in the printed report illustrates the breakdown by each $1 of spending, which is 6 cents for DHHS administrative costs, 2 cents for the ASO's administrative costs, 19 cents for providers' administrative costs, and 73 cents that go to the direct costs of providing services to children. Administrative costs within DHHS related to outpatient children mental health services appear to be relatively low, primarily because the services are now delivered under a standard rate by a relatively stable network of providers. Primary drivers of administrative costs for DHHS are the contract with the ASO and costs incurred by the Office of Main Care Services in processing provider claims. Providers surveyed reported that certain administrative requirements imposed upon them by the state, and the ASO in particular, represented significant efforts for them. They described the ASO's reporting requirements as potentially more onerous than necessary, as duplicative of data that is required to be reported to other DHHS offices, and as having a net effect of straining their resources by requiring clinicians to spend more time completing forms and less time delivering billable services. Some providers even indicated that given this additional administrative burden, the standard rate no longer covered the costs associated with offering outpatient services and that they were no longer accepting new outpatient clients as a result. DHHS maintains that implementation of an ASO utilization review moves Maine toward industry standard practices and will provide overall benefit to the state in controlling costs and improving outcomes for children. They note that APS's reporting requirements are consistent with ASO efforts in other states and that APS is continually working with providers to identify and implement administrative efficiencies. OPEGA has not validated either perspective. Nonetheless, given the cost of the APS contract and the significant savings being attributed to its services, we believe it would be prudent to conduct a more detailed review of the contract to assure that the state's desired outcomes for the care management effort are being achieved in the most cost-effective manner possible. As a result of the state's move to standardize reimbursement rates for children's mental health outpatient services, Providers now receive the standard rate regardless of their actual individual delivery costs. While providers are working to adapt to the rate by managing their costs to a supportable level, the result is a scenario in which, by lowering or raising the standard rate, the state affects the level of costs providers can afford to bear. The provider network will continue to adapt to the implementation of care management efforts and standardized rates. We encourage DHHS and the legislature to closely monitor whether the current standard rate or administrative requirements on providers should be further adjusted to achieve additional savings or to address any unintended changes in the availability and quality of services. Full report, Section 7, Recommendations. Recommendation 1. More detailed review of contract with APS would be prudent. When the 123rd Legislature passed Public Law 2007, Chapter 240, Part CC, it expected estimated savings of $6 million in general fund and just over $16 million total during fiscal year 2008. Expected savings for fiscal year 2009 were $8.5 million in general fund and about $23 million total. Table 7 in the printed report shows the detail of savings booked as part of that public law. We also note that the Governor's proposed biennial budget for 2010 and 2011 includes several budget initiatives related to Public Law 2007, Chapter 240, Part CC. DHHS has contracted with APS Healthcare to serve as the administrative service organization. The contract became effective September 1, 2007, and ends on July 31, 2009, unless extended. The cost of the contract for all services is approximately $3.6 million in fiscal year 08, $5 million in fiscal year 09, and $406,688 in fiscal year 10. 75% of the contract is paid for with federal funds, with the state funding the other 25%. OPEGA inquired about whether and how actual savings realized from APS's contract were being tracked. DHHS provided a cost impact analysis for the ASO, prepared for the department by the Muskie School of Public Service. This analysis bases cost savings on changes in trends in main care spending for behavioral services as a whole and by individual services. We note that there are a number of factors that could contribute to changes in the total cost of behavioral health services and outpatient children's mental health services specifically from one year to another, including changes in main care eligibility that may affect how much outpatient treatment children may receive annually, changes in the number of main care eligible children seeking outpatient services, implementation of standardized rates, and changes in provider requirements or environmental factors that may affect the number of providers willing to offer the services. Consequently, savings shown in this analysis cannot be directly attributed to the efforts of the ASO. In addition, our survey of providers indicated that many providers have concerns about the administrative burdens imposed by the APS, not just related to outpatient services, but for all behavioral health services. These concerns may be mostly the frustrations of dealing with new procedures, but they do raise the question of whether the benefits, cost savings, and improved outcomes of the contract with APS actually exceed the total costs associated with their work, not just their contract costs, but also the costs imposed on the provider network. Given the cost of the APS contract, the significant savings expected from the ASO, and providers' concerns about associated administrative burdens, which OPEGA has not validated, we believe it would be prudent to conduct a more detailed review of the contract to assure that the state's desired outcomes for the care management effort are being achieved in the most cost-effective manner possible. Our recommendation for legislative action. The legislature should consider directing OPEGA or some other entity to perform an in-depth evaluation of the contract and services provided by APS. Such an evaluation should review the detail of results APS has achieved, the administration of the contract with APS, and the cost that the provider network has absorbed as a result of APS's requirements. Recommendation 2. Outpatient provider network needs ongoing monitoring. Maine's relatively recent move to a standard rate for outpatient services has changed the interaction between the state and the provider network. There is no longer negotiation to ensure that individual providers' rates are adequate to cover their specific expenses. With this new dynamic, it will be increasingly important for the state to actively and consistently monitor the health of the provider network, following the evolution of the network, staying alert for any access or quality issues, and monitoring the implementation of efforts to improve efficiencies and reduce administrative burdens. In our discussions with DHHS, they mentioned several avenues that currently exist for monitoring the quality of services provided, some of them more objectively based than others. Adequately assessing the geographic availability of outpatient services for children, however, is currently a difficult task due to a lack of objective data and processes for collecting it. Our recommendation for legislative action. The legislature should consider two potential approaches for monitoring the health of the outpatient provider network, the quality of service children are receiving, and ongoing efforts to increase efficiencies in providers' administrative requirements. One would be for the Joint Standing Committee on Health and Human Services to establish a formal and regular process specifically focused on monitoring these items. As an alternative, the legislature could assign this formal oversight to the now inactive Children's Mental Health Oversight Committee. Although the committee has been inactive for some time, its statutorily set membership seems well suited to carry out this sort of monitoring. With either approach, the Health and Human Services Committee and DHHS should agree upon the data to be collected and reported that will allow for a sufficient understanding of changes in the provider network and meaningful objective measures of availability and quality of services. Data collection processes and procedures should have adequate controls built in to assure that data collected is complete and reliable. Recommendation 3. Continued need for Children's Mental Health Oversight Committee should be determined. The Children's Mental Health Oversight Committee, required by Title 34B, Section 15004-2, appears to have stopped meeting and no longer receives reports or makes reports to joint standing committees of the legislature as required in statute. It appears that a number of the committee seats have not received legislative appointments for some time, and as a result, the committee has ceased to function. Statute contains a number of specific duties for the committee, some of which no longer appear relevant. Our recommendation for legislative action. The legislature may want to consider either removing the Children's Mental Health Oversight Committee from statute or else taking steps to revive the committee and ensure its effectiveness. An active oversight committee could potentially assist the department and the legislature in monitoring how changes in the newly standardized rates are impacting the provider network and tracking the implementation of initiatives to reduce administrative burdens on providers. If the legislature decides to reactivate the committee, it should review and update as appropriate the committee's current statutory responsibilities. The legislature should also consider adding the committee to the list of committees in Title V, Chapter 379, so that the Secretary of State's office can monitor and report on the committee's annual activity and vacant seats, as it does for all other committees listed in that chapter. Recommendation 4. DHHS cost allocation plan should include rate-setting unit. The DHHS rate-setting unit performs work related to federal programs, but had none of their costs allocated to Medicaid in the department's fiscal year 2008 cost allocation plan, or CAP. This results in less federal matching dollars for the department and requires the unit to be fully funded by the general fund. Issues with the CAP have been noted previously by the Department of Audit, and the DHHS Service Center has been working actively over the past few years to make improvements to the plan and maximize federal reimbursements. The Service Center estimates that allocating the rate-setting unit's applicable cost to Medicaid could result in additional federal reimbursement of approximately $110,000, but not more than $148,000 annually. Our recommendation for legislative action. DHHS and the Service Center are taking steps to ensure the rate-setting unit's costs are allocated to federal programs as appropriate to maximize federal revenue in future fiscal years. The Joint Standing Committee on Health and Human Services may want to follow up on the status of this action during the second session of the 124th Legislature to make sure the state has collected all appropriate federal reimbursement associated with the rate-setting unit. In addition, by the second session, the State Department of Audit will likely have completed its thorough audit of DHHS's new CAP plan. Although that audit may not touch on the rate-setting unit specifically, the Health and Human Services Committee may want to invite the state auditor before the committee to report on the department's new CAP plan as a whole. Agency response to OPEGA's report on MaineCare Children's Outpatient Mental Health Services. In accordance with Title III, Section 996, OPEGA provided the Department of Health and Human Services an opportunity to submit comments on the draft of this report. Following is a letter received by Beth Ashcroft, Director of OPEGA, from Commissioner Brenda Harvey on February 23, 2009. Dear Ms. Ashcroft, the Department of Health and Human Services appreciates having the opportunity to respond to the Office of Program Evaluation and Government Accountability's report entitled MaineCare Children's Outpatient Mental Health Services, an assessment of administrative costs and their drivers. The department was given the opportunity to comment on a preliminary draft of the report, and we were pleased to note that some revisions were made as a result of the department's comments. We appreciate the courtesy and professionalism which OPEGA brings to their work, and we hope that comments we are providing here will provide additional information and perspective that will be helpful to legislators. On page 14 of the report, OPEGA states, "There are some differences in perspectives between the providers and DHHS on the administrative burdens, and this is not entirely unexpected given the cultural shift that a care management effort creates. However, we have not researched the specific points made to us by either group and are not in a position to validate them. We think it is unfortunate that OPEGA has adopted this stance, and we believe it diminishes the value of the report. In several instances, the department provided information and documentation that would have enabled OPEGA to make a determination concerning specific issues identified in the report. For example, OPEGA has reported on page 13 the provider's contention that multiple pages of information are required for continuing stay reviews of children's outpatient services and is extremely burdensome, even after the department provided a copy of the actual one-page form that is required. It is impossible to perform a utilization review function without requiring some information from providers, and a minimal amount of information is currently being required. The report also contains the allegation that, quote, changes to MaineCare requirements mean providers are constantly asking administrative and technical staff to update data submission forms, codes, and processes, end quote. There have been two instances of such changes in MaineCare requirements for outpatient services that were necessitated by the need to replace local codes with HIPAA-compliant billing codes as part of the conversion to a new claims processing system. We do not mean to understate the significance of these changes for providers, but two instances certainly do not amount to a constant problem. We believe this may be a view held by providers of multiple services and is outside the scope of this review. Lastly, regarding the rates for children's outpatient services, the report notes that the department contracted with Deloitte to assess the reasonableness of MaineCare reimbursement rates for behavioral health services. Further, the report correctly points out that Deloitte's analysis supported the reasonableness of the cost-based standard rates that were originally developed and proposed by the department in 2007. However, in the face of all the data that has been developed, the extensive and well-documented process of discussion with providers that has occurred, and the comprehensive analysis that was done by a firm with national scope and expertise in the area of rate setting, the report concludes on page 11 that Opega, quote, did not participate in Deloitte's effort or in their meetings with providers, so we cannot evaluate the validity of their work or the extent to which they considered providers' input about actual costs providers were experiencing, end quote. It is difficult to understand why Opega has been willing to report subjective provider concerns that excessive administrative burdens are being imposed, or that rates may be either too high or too low, and reluctant to draw a conclusion based on the voluminous objective data that is available on the issues that have been raised. It is not enough to say, as the report does on page 19, that Opega has not validated provider concerns about administrative burdens, when there is clear evidence that at least some of the most prominent concerns described in the report are certainly not valid. Without validating claims and counterclaims, the Opega report gives unwarranted credibility to assertions and allegations that are not supported by facts. The Department does not object to the recommendations contained in the report, but we would offer the following comments regarding those recommendations. Recommendation 1 calls for a more detailed review of the contract with the Administrative Services Organization. While such a review may help to answer questions raised in the report, the primary reasons that Opega has presented for recommending this review is to assess the costs and benefits of this initiative in light of provider concerns about the administrative burdens it imposes. In response to this recommendation, we would note that the decision to implement a utilization management initiative for behavioral health services was a policy decision made by the legislature based on the need to control escalating costs. It only began operating in December of 2007. For the first 3 months, providers registered their clients and services and received automatic authorizations. Actual clinical reviews generally began 3 to 12 months, depending on the service, after the initial registration became effective. Claims for services are generally submitted and processed 1 to 3 months after the service is provided. In other words, the initial year of operation is an implementation period, and the impact of an ASO initiative manifests itself over time. We therefore suggest that it is too soon to effectively evaluate the ASO initiative, and that such an evaluation should wait until the initiative has been fully operational for a reasonable period of time and more data is available. On the other hand, we would welcome a review if the Legislative Committee would like to focus on the question of administrative burdens. How the burdens imposed by the main ASO compare to burdens imposed by other utilization management programs in public and private sectors, and what the Department and the ASO have done to mitigate administrative burdens on Maine's providers. Recommendation 2 calls for monitoring of the outpatient provider network. In response to this recommendation, the Department would note that the Children's Cabinet already exists and has general responsibility for monitoring children's services. If the Children's Mental Health Oversight Committee is to be reactivated, it will be important to coordinate roles and functions in order to prevent duplication. In addition, the recommendation calls for collecting complete and reliable data to support the monitoring of the availability and quality of services. The lack of waiting list data for children's outpatient services is one of the specific issues mentioned earlier in the report. We would note that collecting waiting list data from the large number of outpatient service providers in Maine would only result in the compilation of duplicated, inaccurate, and outdated data. In order for waiting list data to be meaningful, it must be collected and maintained in a central location on a real-time basis. Doing this requires a substantial commitment of resources and imposes significant burdens on providers. Our only point here is that before imposing new data collection requirements, there should be a determination that there is a clearly identified problem or need to be addressed. In this instance, the report itself notes on page 15 that, quote, no systemic issues with either availability or quality of children's outpatient services were brought to Opega's attention, end quote. Thank you for the consideration of our comments. Sincerely, Brenda Harvey, Commissioner.